Great to have you with us on this Friday, fun Friday. A conversation started for the all-new Kia Carnival Australia's first GUV. Sadly, we're going to have to get into some footy talk and some sport talk. Well,
before we do,
yeah,
I just want to read this out, and I just want your response to this text message, okay? They stopped marbles in schools because kids were going home crying and parents complained that their kids had lost all their marbles. Now, I know what my dad would have said if I had have gone home. Yep. What did Panch say if you were to go home and say, look, I've lost all my marbles at school today?
Get better.
Exactly.
Don't come home crying to me. Just
improve your marble play.
Get a bit of action, a bit of style. No cribbing.
Oh yes. What about
this?
This
is the vernacular.
There were some cheats.
That's Sean from Brisneyland, who was at Haslam Street in Kyabram. Don't crib. Oh, dear Tim. I'm going to explore this again, but we want to talk footy. It is Friday. St Kilda taking on Geelong tonight, Marvel Stadium. Jane Frawley's back in to help try and deal with this forward line from the Geelong Footy Club that clicked last week, kicked 15 goals between them, between big Jeremy Cameron and Tommy Hawkins and Gary Rowan. So Jane Frawley comes back in. They're pretty well positioned, the Saints. They've got Howard and Wilkie and now Frawley.
Yep.
So they match up okay.
They do. Nick Caulfield, though, has been dropped.
Interesting.
Yes. He looked like he was starting to take off last year. Well, he did. He was playing some good footy last year.
Well, they're a big investment. He and Hunter Clark were big investments for St Kilda. And like, so early days, which everyone does, they were a bit going, oh, where is this 7 and 8? Where is it? And then they came on and then they go, oh, how well have we done, you know? And now Hunter Clark has franked that form this year, but Caulfield gets dropped.
And Reece Stanley still an emergency for Geelong as well.
Sava Radigalia, still the man there. So they're still trying to work that position out, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Reece Stanley beat Nick Natanui 3 weeks ago down at GMHBA Stadium. He had a fantastic game there and then had a shocker and then got dropped.
Yeah, well, he's got the opportunity to force his way back into that team at some stage.
Can you tell me this?
Yeah.
Having been a little occupied elsewhere for a couple of days, Patrick Cripps got a fracture in his back or not?
Well, my reading of it now is that he did, but he no longer has.
Okay.
If you listen to David Teague pretty much said that. This is what he said. He's in great shape. Have a listen. This is what David Teague had to say yesterday.
No, he's fine. He's doing all the training. You watch training today. He'll compete everything in training. He doesn't have a fractured back.
So it's just completely inaccurate. There was no... Can you detail the nature of the injury?
He had a sore back at the start of the year, but not now. It's everything's healed now. He's fine.
Never fractured. There was never any...
He had a sore back. I'm not sure what the actual findings were, but he did. I think it was reported. He had a sore back early in the year, but that was, I think he's been completing full training since round 2 or 3, I think it was. So, yeah, it's not an issue now.
And Michael Gleeson in The Age, fantastic writer, one of the best, if not the best footy journo in the state. He wrote definitively that he is playing with a stress fracture, did he not?
He's been playing with a fracture in his back this season. He's needed weekly injections to help him play. He suffered the knock pre-season. The injury confirmed by sources, right? So not by the club, but by sources. And probably you pick up the phone, maybe you talk to his management team or whatever, that Cripps was playing hurt with a mystery injury that needed weekly injections, but the nature of the injury was unknown.
Okay, so this
it
is
it doesn't actually specifically say whether or not he still is.
Right. Well, David Teague says no. David Teague was definitive in how he's feeling right now. This is as far as I could read it. He says Cripp is in great shape right now. He's completing all the training. He's playing strong. That's what we want. So that's pretty unequivocal right now. Now, he was a little bit, you know, he had back issues. Yep. Previously. My question for this, he's copped a lot of criticism, a lot of heat, Patrick Cripps, a lot of discussion about where he's at and, you know, the Mackay out of contract, so who, you know, where are they going to prioritise, all that sort of stuff. Lachie Neale was in a similar situation. Lachie Neale, the reigning Brownlow medalist, didn't start the year, you know, in the manner that we all thought. And then he came out. It was almost... Just talk for a minute.
Right, okay, well, he came out probably, I think it was after the game played against the Bulldogs in Ballarat, actually.
And he just dropped it, just casually, just said, look, you know, I probably shouldn't say this was the words he said, but I've got this little stress fracture that's, you know, making life a bit hard for me. Now, you can read of that what you will, but it filled in some blanks. So then the discussion around Lachie Neale's form changed and altered as a result of that. Mm. Oh, you know, he's not anywhere near his Brownlow medal form because he's got a stress fracture in his back. the question is for Carlton supporters or fans of Patrick Cripps, of which I am one, should he, or not him or his manager or someone, let it be known that, yeah, damn straight he is. He's doing a good job just to get out on the field.
Yeah.
And then that dialogue and narrative around him would change dramatically.
Yeah, it would. I guess there's a couple of things to this. One is that you don't want to make excuses for your own performances. Well, players don't want to make excuses.
Yeah.
And the other part to that is that if he has a fracture in his back and he's playing under duress and with injections, the potential is that somebody can knock that part of your body like really heavily and cause further pain and suffering for you.
My suggestion to that would be there would be no way that any doctor in the competition would allow him to play if there was the risk of him doing severe damage.
No, but I'm not talking about severe damage. I'm just talking about it being painful.
Yeah,
and him. We've seen him go off during early in the season. He went off at different times and he probably had a little bit longer on the bench because of maybe he was suffering some pain and discomfort.
Anyway, all we can do, this is what all, when we're making assessments, is assess on what we know, on the information before us.
Right.
So as commentators or media people who are asked to, you know, go and watch it, what do you think about it? So right now it's fair game, the assessment of Patrick Cripps.
Yeah.
If it comes to light that he has been playing with a stress fracture and continues to, it changes. Mm. And I wonder what Patrick, as a proud warrior footballer, I'm sure his mindset would be, no, I take the field, I'm fair game.
Do you think the way the game, adding to that, okay, and you know maybe there's an injury concern, but adding to that, the way the game is being played, less stoppages, more spread, the ball is in motion more than it's been previously. Mm. Do you think that's impacted on his effectiveness out there on the field as well?
Possibly. But
that's the narrative that's being spun around why he's not the why he's not the Patrick Cripps that we've seen of the past.
Yeah, but there's players that have got who were similarly suited to the way the game used to. And it, look, it's coming back a bit, by the way. They were really dramatic changes.
Yeah.
The piece is coming back a bit. But there are other players that adapted. And this is the question. He may be able to adapt with better spread and better outside run if he wasn't playing with a fresh stress fracture in his back.
Yeah. Do you see?
I don't know if he is or not, but this is what's now been raised.
Do you see him as a forward two or not?
Hasn't demonstrated over the journey to me. Great forward now. Right. And his goal kicking is still iffy.
I say all that because, you know, somebody out there, and Carlton is one of them, and maybe West Coast or maybe Fremantle are looking at him now, because we're talking about his contract now and where he's going to play his footy out. They're looking at all those things. They're saying, okay, what do you actually get with Patrick Cripps as a player? You've got leadership. Yeah, you know, we understand that. He's a great competitor. What does he actually do, and where does he fit into your pay scale in your team now?
But this is, again, this is all rolled in together. I don't know, and this is how it's hard to judge. Patrick, in his full body, strength, fit, 100%, it can still be a dominant force in this competition. Mm. And if you're going to make a play for him, and I'm not saying anyone is, but if West Coast were or Freo or who knows, Geelong, they would be in the most parlous position because they're trying to assess him as a player right now on the back of this injury.
Yeah.
And no one's been more discussed than Patrick Cripps this
year. And no one knows where he's at better than Carlton.
No.
Like the West Coast Eagles or anyone out there that might think that they want to recruit him, they don't know his situation better than what Carlton currently do.
And if you came in here and were doing your job every morning with a migraine every day, migraine, which,
I had a headache
this morning, and you weren't anywhere near as good as you were, and then you were getting assessed at it publicly and you're getting, you're criticised, and then, every day, you would in the end go, hang on a damn minute.
I'm not feeling well.
Yeah, but you don't. Why don't they? Why doesn't Patrick Cripps?
Maybe he doesn't want to.
I know that.
Maybe he doesn't want to.
Because he
might think deep in his own mind, that is making an excuse for myself. And I don't want to. I don't want to be making excuses for my performance out there. I'm okay. I'm signing up. I'm saying that I'm okay to play. I'm putting myself out there. And my performances will stand for whatever they stand for based on what I'm producing.
Fair enough.
Hey, the AFLW is going to expand from 14 teams to 18 by 2023. That's been announced. The sixth season of the AFLW will start in December, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to get the clear air that they want by starting then and then finishing before the AFL season?
So they'll compete against the BBL and they'll have a 7-day break. It's been reported over Christmas.
Yeah.
And then they'll resume, which would be running into the Australian Open, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm holding papers up. I'm holding the two daily papers up, right? The Age and the Herald Sun. Because ultimately, I think it's about this. It's about the coverage that you receive.
Yep.
Whether or not that's going to be a good move for the AFLW or not. Do you think that the general media, the press, will get behind the AFLW season and they'll find prominence in that part of the season?
I think they will. I think they will. There's not a lot going on. Like the cricket is the dominant force. If you try and cast your mind back or forwards at that period of time over the Christmas break, we're going to have this year's going to be the biggest challenge. We've got the Ashes. Yeah. The Ashes are going to be the biggest show in town.
That's right.
They will dominate.
Yeah, but they want their space, okay? And
they don't want to compete with the men's competition. That's what they don't want.
No, because as soon as the AFL started this season, okay, they were relegated to, you know, like fourth, fifth, sixth page. In from the
that's
back
right.
of the sport in the sports section,
yep.
because that's primarily, you know, one of the reasons why. But they're going to have to play in the heat during the day, all that type of thing. So there's going to be some problems associated with it from a player comfort level perspective playing a game like AFL.
Yeah, I heard Daisy talk yesterday with Jared though. She said she likes it as a summer product. The fact that they and the priority is to have their own football non-compete. Time frame.
Okay. Priority picks. Okay, this discussion has begun again. North Melbourne, their coach, David Noble, said, yeah, of course they would. Of course they'll be applying for a priority pick. We talked about North Melbourne's record yesterday. They lost 16 in a row by an average of 44 points. They had a last win. Their last win was round 9, 2020. In your mind, is it, yep, just give them a priority pick?
Did David Noble, was he asked if, to say, would they apply, or did he say if? How did that conversation go?
Well, I'm thinking that exactly what he said was that they would be talking to... Well, here, have a listen to this.
I'd love one. Absolutely, I'd love one. Yeah, why wouldn't we? If we're in a situation where that mechanism can be activated, I'm all for it. Absolutely. At the previous place I was, we applied for it. I think it may be a bit early. I think if you stopped it now, I go, yeah, we do. Yeah, we could do with a bit more help.
No one's going to knock back a pick, an extra pick, if you get one, which is what he's saying. But I also think he did say it might be a bit early.
Yeah, but they want one.
They'd take one
when he was at the Brisbane Lions, and they'd take one now.
Are you
opposed to it in any way? Philosophically, do you oppose it?
No, I don't. I know there are. I've got a firm opinion on this. I think it has to be drastic. And my club has been the beneficiary, and I don't know whether they always earned it. I mean, they earned it because they were awful, but whether or not it was as drastic as that, I don't think a year of North Melbourne being at the bottom, well, maybe if they don't win a game. When's the last time a team didn't win a game throughout the course of an AFL season?
That I don't know.
And this is the thing. We preempt these things. This time last year, it was Adelaide Crows who were going to go through the season without a win, and they gathered themselves and had a little bit of momentum at the back end, and that's what North are hoping for, I'm sure, with David Noble.
Brett's been hanging on the line for a long time in Brisbane. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Brett. What do you got for us?
50-year Carlton supporter, guys. So I watched the games pretty intently. A big supporter of Cripper, but I noticed on Sunday's game against Melbourne, there was a marking contest of about three or four players, and it wasn't a run into the contest. It was literally a stand and jump one. Cripper was third in line, and Pitney was fourth. They went up for the contest. No one marked it. The ball spilled to ground. Pitney barely touched Cripper, but Cripper went to the ground like he'd been shot. So T can say what he likes, but there's definitely a problem there.
Good on you, Brett. You watch it closely. So, and that is coming through a bit from Carlton supporters who are saying, you only have to watch Cripps and know he's playing sore. 1964, Fitzroy, the last time a team went through a year without a win.
1964? Well, it doesn't happen very often. I'm prepared to say that then.
Oh, exactly right. Hey, introducing the all-new Kia Carnival GEV with an SUV-inspired design and spacious seating for all 8 passengers. We'll be back with more after this.
Kennards Hire is making trade easy with an express load and go service and heaps more.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have your company on this Friday. We kick off the round 9 of matches tonight at Marvel Stadium between the Saints and the Cats.
Would you give Willie Rioli another chance? I'm just reading here in the Herald Sun, Michael Long, obviously, uncle of Willie. He says, look, he's made some mistakes. He knows he has to change his life for the sake of his kids, for his community. He needs a hand up, not a hand out.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, I would.
You don't know, the only thing that you and I don't know is where the West Coast Eagles have been to with him to this point. You know, how many chances have they given him along the way to the point that they're exasperated now and they think, okay, well, look, we've tried as much as we possibly can to do what we can do to help this young man, and we just have got to the point now that we're at the end of our tether. We don't believe there's anything more that we can do to help him.
Absolutely spot on. We don't know that. We do know they're a great footy club of probably facing all the challenges like lots of clubs at the moment, trying to deal with cuts to their personnel. So then you're flat out trying to deal with footy issues.
Mm.
And then when you've got a bigger issue, which Willie's has become over time, and it was a big drama, his first one, that you've got to try and manage that as well. So time will tell. Adam Simpson says they're going to make a decision on his future in the next week or so. Jack's been waiting for a little while. He's on the line. Lines are open. G'day, Jack.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good, thank you.
Hey, so first and foremost, I've got two things. I just want to talk about the Cripps issue. I think Carlton need to probably tread a little bit lightly now, and it's come out that he's got this fracture in his back and he's been playing with injections. I think just for the sake of the outcry that's going to happen if he gets the end of the year and it gets told, oh, no, hang on, he's not allowed to play anymore. I think they've just got to probably tread it a little bit lightly, and I think they've just got to watch how they treat this. But the other one was I tipped his into gold medals last week.
Oh, you did, Daniel? You did, Jack? Yes. What do you got for us this week?
I've got another one, boys. And this one's a bit of a watch and act. Obviously, the weather's a bit difficult around Melbourne at the moment, but there's a progressive horse racing in the Andrew and Rams in which the winner of this gets a ballot straight into the Melbourne Cup. So, Through Irish Eyes is the horse in the Endurance and tomorrow. Number nine, Michael Poy on board, a fantastic jockey, and Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace have set this horse for the Melbourne Cup. So
nice, Jack. You're in good form. So Through Irish Eyes. So gamble responsibly.
I've got a tip for you too. Just back whatever Jamie Carr's riding this weekend. If she's riding 10 wins from her last 14 rides, there you go.
Fair enough. David's in Tasmania. G'day, Dave.
I'm on Jamie Watch.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Just really quickly, a follow-on from you speaking about Alistair Clarkson and how he was treating his players and wasn't going to leave once he got the players in, he got in.
Yep.
Last night, I sat in a coach's training course, and Alistair Clarkson was part of that through a web chat, and he was ultra-impressive. The conversation led to how Hawthorn and himself handled the Mitchell and Lewis leaving.
Yep.
And I wasn't aware. I thought, you know, the club may have dumped him and said they weren't going to have him. But the way he handled that and he spoke, and I'll paraphrase, but he was along the lines of they encouraged him to look elsewhere because they couldn't offer him the deals that they were looking for, even to the point where they spoke about helping them boys get better deals to secure their future outside of footy. So it was really ultra impressive to see that he was that secure in his role. Obviously he is, but and the club was secure enough to help boys look elsewhere to get better futures for himself. Oh, I was really impressed with him.
Good on you, David. Thank you. Maybe we can talk to Jordan about that next week. I mean, he got a great offer from him. He got 3 years from Melbourne. Got offered 3 years. Was only, I think, ever going to be getting one at Hawthorn. So good on you, Dave. Thanks for that. Mark's in South Melbourne. G'day, Mark.
G'day, guys. Tonight's game, I'm a bit concerned being a St Kilda supporter. 15 out of 18 Friday night busters, we've lost. What are our hopes, and are we going in too defensively to stop Geelong kicking goals, and how can we improve King's, going into the forward line? I think delivery's been hopeless. What are your thoughts?
Oh, geez, there's a lot of questions in that, Marco. We don't generally do great big previews, but are you going in too defensive? I don't think so. You've introduced James Frawley back into the side, so it gives you some support down in the back half because we know how potent the Cats are. King is one part of a forward line that's going to be better with Marshall playing and Ryder, so I think they're back. Membry was quiet. No, I think the Cats will give a good account of themselves against Geelong tonight at the Marvel Stadium, Whispers. What's the number one tipster in the country saying?
I'm saying Geelong. How could you tip against Geelong and St Kilda? Look, they toughed it out last week against the Gold Coast Suns, but they weren't that impressive overall. And I think this is like a step up in class for them against the Cats. It just we talked about Caulfield before that he'd been dropped, and we've had a couple of text messages that come through to say that he's had a concussion. But I've looked everywhere to see whether or not that's been identified, but it hasn't been. So
I'm on the AFL website right now. It says Nick Caulfield omitted. So unless there's been a mistake, you need to correct that for us. I watched that game last week. I don't remember him being concussed, but we would stand corrected if that's the case. But right now, all of the publications are saying he's been omitted. Sue's in the basin. G'day, Sue.
Hello. How are we today, boys?
Well, be a bit fresh up there in the basin.
Oh, very, very. It's lovely. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Good on you. What have you got for us?
I was just ringing up about the Dan Rioli incident.
Mm-hmm.
Everything at the moment is telling people to call guys out on their attitudes to women. If this person has said something to Rioli's girlfriend that's derogatory, surely it's got to be called out, because the next person he does it to could be walking down the street on her own. He's done the right thing. He stood up and called this person out.
So this is it's a world we live in. So I feel the same way. I understand exactly what would happen if my partner was in the same situation. I'd do the same thing. Yet he was, I don't know if Dan was called out by, I think, Georgia Love. I think he was a reporter at Channel 7. I think she wanted to go about Damien Hardwick, who said basically what I just said, that I understand someone going up and confronting.
Yes, and calling people out and saying,
Now, the alternative, I think, which George's point was, I read this. She said, as a female, we don't need rescuing. So Daniel did what he thought was right by his partner. And there's been some criticism around that as well. Walk away was the alternative. That's what's been sold. So, Sue, it's an interesting topic for conversation.
It's an interesting whole conversation, this one, though, and the story itself. The AFL Integrity Department is still investigating what took place, so I expect at some point that we will be given a little bit more detail about what took place. Ben's in Bundoora. Good morning, Ben.
Ooh, very quickly, Ben. We've got to get to 7:30 news headlines. Look at the clock then. G'day, Benny.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Happy Friday. 100% agree with Sue. Absolutely stick up for your values in regards to Daniel Rioli. And just touching on Willie Rioli, last time I checked, AFL is a profession, just like other jobs, which are professional jobs, that you have to have drug tests and stuff like that. If you get caught in other professional jobs, whether you're an accountant or anything along the lines of that, that could cease your contract.
That's right.
What's your thoughts?
No, that's exactly right. I don't know whether it's an automatic in other jobs. I'd imagine it might be a zero tolerance at some places of employment. Others may have a policy in place that gets you another chance, or gives you the chance to go and get some therapy or rehab or whatever the case may be. I don't know. I just don't think it's going to be. We spoke about this 2 days ago from a NFL point of view, NBA point of view.
Mm.
David Stern says, well, we understand that people smoke I don't know what's it called.
Yep.
Marijuana. Said in some instances they see it as no different. Now I'm not getting. I don't understand it. But they say we sort of.
They don't want to penalise players.
We don't have a problem with it.
No, they don't want to penalise players in the NBA. I think the figure is that they reckon about 85% of the players are smoking. 85% of the players in the NBA. That's coming from the NBA themselves. Believe that players are smoking marijuana.
Nick Caulfield's an emergency, so that clears that up for you. So he's not out with a concussion. He's been dropped and omitted. We'll come back with more after this. Full time in the EPL, Liverpool and Man United. If you don't want to know the score and you're going to go home and watch it, we'll give you 2 seconds. 4-2. There you go. Liverpool has beaten Man United 4-2. Mark of the week is been somehow, I don't know the full details, but we're doing our homework on this. I won't even mention.
No, don't mention that yet. Just the front page headline we haven't touched on yet, the Herald Sun today too, and that is Kids Footy Agro. Exclusive abusive junior league coaches ordered to lay off umpires amid spate of attacks. junior footy coaches in charge of players as young as 9, I'll repeat that, as young as 9, have been ordered to lay off umpires after a shocking string of abusive incidents. Now, the Yarra Junior Footy League boss Tim Murray said in a message to all clubs that he was most concerned that many of the incidents were linked to under-10s and under-11s. How can anybody out there be taking junior football at that level so seriously that they're concerned about the umpiring?
Ooh, Tim, Pandora's box here.
Honestly,
in the cold, hard light of 25 to 8 on a Friday morning, those same people would say the same thing. But for whatever reason, they get caught up in the emotion of under 10 sport and start to think that they need to be abusive towards a 13 or 14 year old boy or girl who's doing the umpiring and trying to make sure that their kids, you know, their sons and daughters can get a game of footy. I know, Tim. It
beggars belief.
Outrageous.
Totally outrageous. They just need to keep a check on themselves and understand this, that your kids are out there playing and they just want to enjoy themselves and they want you to enjoy watching them play football. That's what they want.
Yes, and let's say this. There is a great, great, vast majority of those parents who do an unbelievably positive job for their kids and their junior sport.
That's right.
We acknowledge them. We love them and we want you to keep doing that.
But one or two people doing the wrong things spoil the entertainment and the enjoyment for everybody and for the kids as well.
And can I say this as someone that's seen it, you embarrass your own children.
You do.
It's embarrassing for them.